The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And we, if you haven't guessed what we're discussing today, then you're way more behind than we expected. So just by this music alone, you all know that we're talking about Star Wars.
Star Wars.
We are, what, 66 episodes in?
Yes.
And this is the first time we're actually doing a show about Star Wars.
Yeah.
And, I think we have the amount of knowledge we're just going to get at this point. I'm gonna say that, you know, it's a little sacrilegious, but it's not like the life or death changing franchise for me. Like, you know, I'm all about the...
Don't make our guests leave.
I know, I'm not saying anything bad. I'm being honest that, you know, usually when we talk on a subject, we usually have some sort of knowledge. In this case, we're gonna have our guests be more of the ambassador to our trek through this.
That's a different theory. It's not trek.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is that we usually have, you know, like I said, we talk about things and we know pretty much about a lot about them. And this one, we know some. But well, let's introduce our guest for this hour. And that is going to be Mr. Christopher Glavin.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. I've known you for quite a few years now.
Mm-hmm,
we've worked together, and now we've played together. And literally, in plays, I think, you know. I don't think we've actually done a play together.
No, not yet.
But we are facilitated in the same places. Yeah. But you are a huge Star Wars fan, correct?
Oh, yes. I am very much a Star Wars nerd.
So,
is there an official term?
I guess maybe fanboy.
Okay.
I don't know if it's different from other things that people are really obsessed with. But.
Well, it does seem like this is the origin of that term came from the fans of Star Wars.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Star Wars was probably the first like legitimate modern day franchise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there was you know, I think there was Jaws before that, but that, you know, those were like the first mid-70s is when they really started doing, like, you know, there's all this memorabilia and things that go along with the release of movies. So
mm-hmm.
Well, like Star Trek has Trekkers or Trekkies, depending on who gives you the thing.
Right.
Maybe you need to come up with one right now, and then we'll just be like, this is it. Like Warkin. We are Warkins.
I don't know if I want to speak for the entire Star Wars community.
That's pretty big.
That's a lot of people to speak for.
It's a lot of pressure.
Who's coming after you?
Oh, well, you know, there's Jedi and Sith and, you know, just about everybody in between, so.
But, yeah, so I personally have seen all three. I've seen the original trilogy once. We have seen the new ones, the 7 and 8, in theaters.
Okay.
And I have not seen the prequels or the spin-offs, Solo and Rogue One.
That has its pros and its cons.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little behind on Star Wars completely. I didn't watch the original trilogy until about 11 years ago, which is still relatively recently.
Sure.
I was in training for my job, and my classmate, we were talking one day, and I said, oh, I mentioned that I hadn't seen any of Star Wars, and she just about fainted. And then the next day brought all the DVDs and said, here, go home and watch these.
That is exactly my reaction when people tell me they haven't seen Star Wars.
And I will say that my favorite part of watching the movies was understanding all of the Seth MacFarlane references in Family Guy and American Dad and things like that. And I technically have seen the... Episode 1, I didn't watch it, but I saw it. It was in high school. We were taking a field trip, and they were playing it on the bus. I'm like, yeah, I'm not watching this. I'm going to go to sleep. But we were watching a recap last night.
Yeah, we did some research. We're not terrible
people. We're professionals.
Yeah.
And so we're watching this recap. It was a really good recap. Little guy in the corner of the screen talks about it, and they show clips from the movies. And so we watched – he did the original trilogy, and then he did the prequels. And just watching the clips of the prequels looked bad. And I'm not saying that the movies looked bad or the storylines looked bad. Like, the graphics looked terrible. Now, was that just the format of the YouTube video, or were they really not very well made? In your humble opinion.
Well, because Chris is a video editor. He's a filmmaker. He makes films. For work, he actually makes commercials as a job. So he knows what to look for with like lighting, editing, sound, all that. So when he sees movies like myself, you're looking for quality and substance. And I think they got a little overzealous, in my opinion, in, okay, we have the technology to do this. Let's try to go overboard with that. And then they were limited by the technology at the time.
They have their pros and their cons. I always imagine, like, a behind-the-scenes, like, backroom feud between, like, ongoing feud between George Lucas and James Cameron. As far as, like, pushing the envelope and trying to do things that haven't been done before. And, I think James Cameron probably has a better track record for success.
Terminator 2, definitely.
Yeah.
Terminator 2 still looks good.
Terminator 2 does still look good.
Yeah.
So would you recommend that we should watch the prequels, or are we okay not watching them?
I think it changes your view, your overall view of the story of Star Wars. I mean, there's a lot of layers to it. I guess it depends on whether or not you believe George Lucas when he says that he originally had 9 movies in mind, and it was this whole big story. Because 4, 5, and 6 definitely stand on their own, and because there was such a big gap between the original trilogy and when they started doing the prequels. And especially after Episode 1 came out, and everybody was looking forward to this, epic, like, okay, we're getting all of the backstory here. We're getting, the beginning of the saga that leads to the creation of Darth Vader and the rise of the Empire. And Episode 1 left a lot of people just kind of like going, what, how is he going to tie this together? So I feel like, because there was such a time gap, and also because Episode 1 was just so far removed from what people expected from the original trilogy, that they kind of weren't sure, if that was how that was supposed to like fit into the story. But if you believe, if you take Lucas at his word that he originally intended for it to be 9 movies, watching the first 3, if you can look past some of the visuals and listen past most of the dialogue, in my opinion, it really does change the story from being, if you watch the original trilogy, the story is really about Luke Skywalker and his rise to, being this epic hero who, with his buddies, brings down the fall of the Galactic Empire and, saves his father and gets rid of the Emperor and all this stuff. If you watch the original trilogy and then watch if you watch the prequels and then watch the original trilogy, it's really more the story of Anakin Skywalker and his rise and fall and redemption.
Mm-hmm.
So it really changes the feel of Episodes 4, 5, and 6 when you go back and watch the trilogy, the originals.
So I would say that the trilogy, the prequels, is probably good to watch to build on the mythology.
Yeah, and there's a lot of peripheral stuff in the prequels that kind of gives either direct or indirect nods to some of like the fan fictions and things that books and even YouTube short films and movies and things that have come out around the Star Wars canon, if you will. So they did take some time to kind of, give some nods to some of the other stories. There was much more of a focus on, there was this whole backstory in Episode 2 with Boba Fett, who is like a fan favorite. You'd be surprised how many people Boba Fett is like their guy, and so to see where he came from and how they worked that into the story is, is pretty cool. And they're also doing a movie, I think, or a TV series. I can't remember off the top of my head, called The Mandalorian. And that's supposed to be happening.
The trailer just dropped recently.
Yeah. I thought it was supposed to be happening sometime this year, but maybe next year. But
yeah, it's part of the Disney Plus.
It'll be this fall. Created by Jon Favreau. That's exciting.
Anything created by Jon Favreau has got to be good.
Right. It's a series, and it'll premiere November 12th.
And I will be watching.
So it's one of the first things available when it comes out.
Yeah, when the streaming service starts.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So. Yeah, in the recap we were watching, they were mentioning how there was a lot of, like, the animated series nods and things that are explained in the animated series and in the prequels. So when we were watching The Force Awakens, and we didn't see it right away because I wasn't standing in those lines. But
Neither did I. I waited.
But I did want to see it. It felt very much to me like the original series, like even the scene transitions, you know, with the side swipe of the scene and the musical interludes and all that. Did the prequels feel that way too, or did they feel because it made it feel like it was part of that series? Did the prequels feel the same way?
Not nearly as much. Mm-hmm. They still felt like Star Wars, but I think a lot more just the visuals were a lot more, you know, the epic cityscapes and the epic landscapes and the you know, of course, anytime a lightsaber shows up, you know, it's you can't mistake that for anything else.
Right.
As far as the you know, immersing you into that story and that universe, I think the newer releases are much closer to the original trilogy than the prequels were. Yeah.
So as a fan of Star Wars, what is it that draws you to the series? What is it that makes you such a fanboy?
As you said, there's so many things. I guess I was drawn to the story. I first saw. I think I actually first saw Empire Strikes Back. That was the first one that I saw, and I just happened to see it at a friend's house while we were, you know, I was like 10 years old, and we were, you know, playing, doing something else, and somebody had this on, or it was just on the television, and I stopped, and I couldn't take my eyes off it. There was something about this story, about this nobody who becomes the hero of, like, everything, you know? And there's something about that that hero's journey that speaks to me personally. And then, you know, you put it in space, and you can't go wrong when you put big epic stories in space.
So do you think that the characters are the driving force? Do you think the story's the driving force? Do you think that not the backgrounds, but the sets, the universe that they're set in is the driving force? Like, because, you know, there's certain things that people go, oh, yeah, like, I really, like, this show is terrible, but I like the way it's written, and I like the way that I'm really invested in the characters, even though I don't really like the time period it's set in. Like, is it just a mix of all of those things, or is there something you go, I can overlook this because I like this?
I think one of the great things about Star Wars is that it really depends who you talk to. I think that there are aspects of the world that Lucas created that speak to all different kinds of people. You know, I know there's people who, you know, the characters are really what they love about Star Wars. And, you know, not just the characters themselves, but the diversity, you know, the number of different, you know, aliens and relationships that they created. But then, you know, also they when they were, especially in the original trilogy, they invented so many things, you know. There was so much ingenuity that came out of making those first three films that, you know, there's a lot to be said for the, you know, the setscapes, and there's a lot to be said for just how they made this. I mean, truly, epic, unreachable, out in the stars story, and they brought it right to you, mm-hmm. you know?
So, you know, we'll actually discuss more about that and the actual filmmaking process when we come back. We're going to take a break because, you know, commercials. So we are going to take a break, and you have been listening to We're a Little Behind. We'll be right back.
Rockin' and rollin'. Down to the beach I'm strolling. But the seagulls poke at my head, not fun.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, I'm Robin Fader, co-executive director of the Reading Fashion Alliance. We are hosting the 2019 Reading Fashion Week starting September 6th with a trunk show at Carousel Boutique. The fashion show gala featuring several local fashion designers and models is happening September 7th at the downtown Reading atrium. We are featuring a fashion lounge, DJ, drinks, and hors d'oeuvres. Support small businesses in Reading on Shop Local Night, September 12th. From 4 to 8 p.m. We will wrap up Reading Fashion Week with an opening reception for the iconic fashion exhibit at Turtle Bay Exploration Park, featuring designer fashion from the collection of Alita Carpenter on September 13th from 6 to 9 p.m. We have so many great events. Get tickets and more information at www.readingfashionalliance.org. We can't wait to see you at Reading Fashion Week beginning September 6th.
It's a lion. Mary Shelley's spine-tingling classic comes to the Reading stage in all its theatrical glory. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Frankenstein, written by Mary Shelley, adapted by Andrew Billiter, directed by Matt McDonald. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30. Sunday matinees at 2. September 21st through October 19th. Come see a show unlike anything you've seen on the Riverfront stage before, if you dare.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we're in studio with...
me, Chris Glavin.
There you go. And we're talking Star Wars.
Yep.
So, before we just... We have kind of a theme of the show is just kind of a... what is that? A stream of consciousness kind of thing. We don't have a set... like, we're going to talk about these points. So we were just kind of talking about the prequels, the original trilogy, all of that at once. But at the time, like, when it came out, the original trilogy, it was groundbreaking and visually stunning, right? Like, I mean, personally, when I think of, like, old movies that are, like, mind-blowing graphics, my actual go-to is 2001: A Space Odyssey. Now, that is not to say that I actually enjoy the movie. That is not the case. It is that it is that the way he does all of his filmmaking is mind-blowing. Especially the middle part that is just the space stuff in 2001: Space Odyssey. That,
yeah.
You mean the 20-minute acid trip?
No, not the thing at the end. Oh. Just the stuff that's in space.
Oh, okay.
No. I meant the stuff like with HAL 9000 or HAL, whatever it is. Yeah. And the part where he's floating and like the camera angles where he's going for the jog around the space station, so he does that 360. He leaves at the top and comes back down,
yeah.
Like the circular, like nonstop, or the floating, the out in space. Just everything about that in particular, to me, is that. And then you've had, and I think that came out in what, 69. I'll let you check this while I'm talking. But I believe that came out in like 69. And then you have 8 years later, 77 is when Star Wars came out, correct?
68.
Right.
Ah, 68. So 9 years later. And I was close. And would you say that those graphics and those practical effects and everything were still surprising to an audience?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they took the kind of things that Kubrick was doing on 2001: A Space Odyssey, and they just kind of like they turned it up to 11. You know, they created new camera rigs that hadn't been used before, or, you know, used camera rigs in ways that hadn't been used in that way. You know, they came up with really creative ways of doing things with a lot of their visuals and the miniatures they used, some of the plating methods that they used to composite shots so that you could have these, you know, people inside spaceships that looked like they were flying around, you know, AT-ATs. I guess technically I have to call them AT-ATs because there was some big discussion that I was outnumbered in a while back where I've always called them AT-ATs, and somebody who was, I guess, official, had the official word, said no, they're AT-ATs. So
Star Wars created the GIF thing.
they may have perpetrated some of the early versions of that, yeah.
So now, but it was good at the time, but apparently it's not good enough now because George Lucas has gone back how many times and keeps tweaking them and altering them with new technology. And the honestly, the original trilogy that I saw was blatantly edited. Like I saw it in probably. I saw it on DVD. It must have been one of the newer releases. I saw it in 2000, I want to say 2008. And it was blatantly edited. And
oh,
you
yeah.
have, like, it's 1970s. Like, you can tell when this is practical effects. And all of a sudden, this very digital spaceship comes and flies in. And then you're just like, it takes you out of it almost. Like, I would say that's the problem I had with the series is seeing these more up-to-date versions. While I'm sitting there watching, like, the end of Return of the Jedi, and all of a sudden all the ghosts of Obi-Wan and Yoda, and all of a sudden Hayden Christensen. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah. And I can't think of the guy's name. It's not Peter Mayhew. It's the guy that they originally had playing Vader in the suit.
Oh.
I know his name. I'm just drawing a blank on it right now. But
sure.
he kind of
was he there?
Like he was the original. Yeah, he was the original.
So there was a third person there.
There was.
It was just not Hayden Christensen.
There was. It was Anakin Skywalker as he was as a good guy, you know, as a Jedi before he turned to evil. And
I'm really surprised they just didn't put in what's his name, Ewan McGregor. Like why did Darth get to go all young Jedi and not Obi-Wan?
Well, he wasn't originally. The actor playing Vader,
David Prowse.
Thank you. David Prowse, I think was in his, he was probably in his late 40s or early 50s. You know, he was closer to Sir Alec Guinness's age, when they filmed Return of the Jedi than he was to Hayden Christensen's age when they, you know,
sure.
superimposed him in. David Prowse really, I think, kind of got the shaft. I he wasn't told that they were going to be dubbing his voice over with James Earl Jones. I don't know if he was still alive, but I don't believe he was consulted or his family was consulted before they.
Yeah, he's still alive.
Is he still alive? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they're like, you know that thing you did that was that super iconic? Yeah, you're not going to be recognized for that whole thing.
The only time you see his face is on the Death Star at Return of the Jedi when he's all makeuped up, you know, and he, you know, when he takes his mask off for like, you know, 30 seconds, he gets his little
moment.
30 seconds of fame, but he did all of that work inside that suit, and, you know, I mean, I guess you could say the same thing about C-3PO and R2-D2, and, you know.
Well, that's kind of that's what's going on in the show we talked about last week, which is Doom Patrol, which is a DC Universe show, and it's a great show. But Brendan Fraser is credited as the Robot Man. It's someone else in the suit. And then Matt Bomer is, what's his name?
He's the Negative Man.
The Negative Man. But his character's covered in bandages. It's someone else in the bandages. And it kind of speaks to both sides of the acting because it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Like, their movement matches their dialogue so well that you would think it's the same. No, it's not the same person at all. So,
At least David Prowse gets credit in, you know, at the end of the credits. He gets credit for being, you know, Darth Vader in the suit.
Hmm.
But, you know, everybody thinks of Darth Vader's suit. They don't think of the guy inside the suit. And everybody knows Darth Vader's got that iconic voice, that James Earl Jones voice.
Yeah, well, if you ask any... I mean, if you would have asked me prior to 10 seconds ago who plays Darth Vader, I would have said James Earl Jones.
I'm a big fanboy, and I couldn't think of his name 2 minutes ago.
I'd have been like, Mufasa. But, and then all of a sudden he gets his moment of, I'm not all tore up from the floor up in the suit. I'm going to be there as a nice, fun ghost. And all of a sudden he gets replaced with Hayden Christensen. I'd have been like, man.
I did have a theory on that, so if you look at Yoda and Obi-Wan, that's their spirit as they, that was the age that they were when they were, you know, good guys. They both lived their lives and died, you know, left the universe, you know, the living universe in the Star Wars universe as old guys. Well, Anakin left as a young guy.
Got it.
So.
Yeah, but he did redeem himself at the end. He did come back,
but, you know, I guess that's not enough to come back as an older spirit. I guess you
in the Jedi religion, once you die, you get to go back to the form where you had all of your limbs.
You are whole again.
And a whole lot more dignity.
I don't know. It kind of seems to me like he was being rewarded for going bad and then being redeemed because now he gets to spend eternity as a young, you know, as a young person, and the other two are, you know, they have to spend eternity as old people.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Yoda didn't move around too bad for an old Jedi, you know. Yeah.
Go ahead. No, I don't have anything.
I was just going to say, that's something else that I really appreciated about is there a term? Okay, so you have the original series, you have the prequels. So what are these called, the ones coming out now? Is there a conclusion?
I don't know off the top of my head what you call the new ones.
The triquel?
I mean, I love J.J. Abrams. I really do. I enjoy everything I've ever seen by him.
The epilogue trio?
Right? I mean, ever since I started watching Alias, I'm like, J.J. Abrams, he's a cool guy. So what I appreciated about these new movies is so much practical effects. I loved that he went back to the puppets, that he went back to the real thing. It was not an entire movie made of CGI.
Yeah.
And with big budget movies nowadays, that's really hard to find. I mean, you look at the Avengers, and it's pretty much three guys standing in front of a green screen the entire movie, and that's it.
Yeah.
And so it was really nice to see, you know, real things.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you have those filmmakers who really just want to, like, you know, push the envelope and do whatever the new big epic filmmaking thing is, and honestly, I think that may have been part of the downfall of the prequels, mm-hmm. is, you know, and also why they you know, some of those visual effects do seem out of place because they were trying to push the envelope with 3D modeling and animation that hadn't really been done to that scale before, you know, to incorporate that in with live action on that scale. And you know, there were times where in the prequels actually it did better because a lot of the backgrounds were also digitally created. It was a lot different plating 3D animation into 30-year-old footage.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there are definitely some things in the remastered version or the extended version of the original trilogy that do seem out of place. But yeah,
Hayden Christensen.
And he was live action as far as anyone knows. But yeah, J.J. Abrams is one of those that I think really can appreciates and respects the, you know, what the essence of part of the essence of the original films is, all of the physical things that they did, you know, the models that they used and the puppets they used. It wasn't just let's, you know, make a 3D model and throw it up on the screen and see what we can get it to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, let's really take it back to its roots,
right.
You know, and yeah, I really appreciate the newer movies for that. And J.J. Abrams, well, I'm a big fan of him.
What I like about the new ones too is the newest one that we've seen, which is the Last Jedi. They're in those like fighter. It's not like mech suits, but they're also like they're in like some of those smaller ships.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they target and everything, it still has those old school graphics too, like the old computer. Like they didn't go, well, now that we're this many years later, we're gonna totally give you like HD visuals that zoom in. It was like the
yeah.
line graph type.
Well, and
I think that.
That goes back to, you know, in the prequels, they were trying to do as much visually as they could, like, cram into a shot. Uh-huh. And so, it felt part of what makes the prequels feel out of place is that you feel like you've gone from this really, you know, you started with the kind of technology that you would have expected from the 1970s, but then you go back in time and technology gets much more sophisticated, and it doesn't compute with what, mm-hmm. you know, how we experience things in our real lives.
Well, it's just like the line from Jurassic Park that can be attributed to so many things. We were so worried about whether we could do it, we didn't stop and think if we
whether
should.
We should, yeah.
Just like the new Cats, the
quote-unquote
live action.
Oh, yeah. We'll get into that, many other topics. When we come back, we are going to take a break. You are listening to We're a Little Behind.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Come on, let's sit down together at the Black Bear Diner on Highway 5 in East Cypress in Reading. Stop by for a family-friendly atmosphere, bear-sized portions, and expansive menu. Enjoy breakfast all day with bear-sized portions of their hearty Bigfoot chicken fried steak and eggs, scrumptious bear claw French toast, and signature sweet cream pancakes. Good food, good friends, good times at a place that feels like home. The Black Bear Diner in Reading.
Black Bear feels like home.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on the Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
He's a liar!
Mary Shelley's spine-tingling classic comes to the Reading stage in all its theatrical glory.
Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Frankenstein, written by Mary Shelley, adapted by Andrew Billiter, directed by Matt McDonald. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, September 21st through October 19th. Come see a show unlike anything you've seen on the Riverfront stage before, if you dare.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Chris Blavin.
And
I love the song. I want to listen to this on repeat next time I go to a cafe.
Wait. So, do we have any requests?
Play the same song again.
Okay.
Same song.
So, yeah, the that's one of my favorite jokes from Family Guy's
Star
Wars.
Yeah, mine too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I also like that they make an homage to the remastered versions because they have a random sock puppet in the in the animation of the cantina scene. it's just great. So, I have a question for you, Chris. When we think of space things, like when we think of space movies with spaceships and all, you know, laser guns and whatever and androids, it's all in the future because we obviously don't have those things. Well, we're starting to get those things. Everybody can have a BB-8. But, you know, C-3PO actually having sentient thought is on its way but not quite here yet.
Right. Let's just hope it doesn't come out for a while.
Right. But this movie, right from the beginning, tells you a long, long time ago. So
in galaxy far, far away.
So this movie is taking place in the past. So
I'm going to blow your mind with this one. My thought on this.
Uh-huh.
It's happening right now for you because light takes so long to get here that it happened so long ago that you're watching it.
You're
currently.
Just now seeing it.
Yeah. You're just now seeing it now. But it happened so long ago because the light or the motion picture light is coming from.
It took it that long to get to you. Yeah, that was what I was going to say. I was gonna go all Big Bang.
I mean, I was going to ask, I mean, really what Star Wars to me boils down to is how one family messes up the galaxy.
Sure.
And so do they just really set back the clock? Do they just destroy everything? And I realize it is a galaxy far, far away. So are they not human?
I think they're humanoid, but I don't think any of them. I mean, I guess it depends. George Lucas's original draft of the first Star Wars film, the original first draft, Leia Organa was the only humanoid. Everybody else was a droid.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's part of the allusion to her last name, you know, Organa, organic.
Oh, organic. You
know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and he shopped that around, and everybody went, no,
don't do that.
You can't make an entire film with all of these characters. They can't all be droids. No one will relate. I think that some of that just kind of came out of necessity for him to change, you know, the characters in the story a little bit. But I think. Part of it is that he was trying to tell a story that could be anywhere at any time. It really transcends time. It transcends space. It could be a long time ago. It could be a long time in the future. It could be happening now somewhere way, way, way far away.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems very Shakespearean at points.
It is. It is in that respect, yeah.
Man. I mean, not a Shakespearean as the Lion King, but, you know. But James Earl Jones likes his epic stories. He likes to be epic dads. Do you have a favorite character from the series?
Oh, boy, that's so hard. I'm really partial to Wicket, the little Ewok from Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Return of the Jedi is not my favorite of the original trilogy. I have to say Empire Strikes Back is my favorite. But I really like...
So you and me are the same in the order that we like the movies as it is for Back to the Future. I'm all about 2, 1, and 3. Like, I like them all, but, like, if I had to pick, it's 2, then it's 1, and then 3. Like, people can argue that 1's better than 2 with me, but no one... I don't want to know the person who thinks that 3 is the best of the trilogy.
Well, and in this case... It, for me, it would be 5, 6, and 4.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, the originals.
Yeah.
The order that they came out.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so 3, 4, and 5.
So release dates. Yeah.
Yeah. As far as release dates go, yeah.
No, it's 4, 5, and 6. And so he likes 5, 5, 3,
oh,
6.
True.
So 5, 4, 6.
5, 6, 4.
Yes.
Is there a reason? I mean, I'm sure there is. Do you know?
Really? Wait, whoa. Don't gloss over what he just said. Did you say 5, 6, 4?
Yeah.
So A New Hope for you is the worst of the original trilogy?
It's hard to say it's the worst. I mean, it puts such a negative spin on it, but
it's your least favorite.
It's my in the scope of all three films, 4 is my my least favorite. Only because I feel like episode 5, the way that the story progresses and the way that you really get to know the characters
and the reveals and
all
the
that. Reveals yeah. and honestly the dialogue, especially some of Han Solo's dialogue and Leia's dialogue, is just it's so quippy, it's so good compared to some of the, you know, a lot of the dialogue in the other films. But I think 5 does a really good job of really not just giving you an epic scene, but it really connects you to the characters. And then 6 is, you know, it's the resolution of the story. So there's a lot of, you know, just like really, it's really cathartic. And Luke is, I think Luke is his least whiny in episode 6. He's his most whiny in episode 4.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Why were they released in the order they were? Like, why did he start with episode 4 and then not come out with episode 1 until a ridiculous time later?
There's so many theories on why. I think it, honestly, if you subscribe to the idea that he originally intended to make all 9 films, episode 4 would have been the one that he was able to make with the budget constraints and the time constraints and the technology constraints that he had at the time. And so, you know, from a practical standpoint, it made sense to start there. And
he also had said that he didn't know if they'd have the money to make a lot of these. So
right.
he was putting all of his eggs in one basket. So he's starting at the point that he thought would bring in the most people and people could relate to the most.
Yeah.
And then he knew it would fail, and so he went to Hawaii instead of going to the premiere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I really don't think I'm pretty sure George Lucas even said, you know, he really didn't expect it to – he expected it to fail.
Him and Spielberg went to Hawaii
when
the film premiered and came up with Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, nobody really expected Star Wars to end up being what it is today. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't think that Lucas had in mind to make a 5th or 6th, you know, a 2nd or 3rd installment, which is also part of why it took 3 years between the release of episode 4 and episode 5, and I think he just decided to keep that going. But I think for a long time, he, you know, once he got through Return of the Jedi, it was like, all right, this is complete, you know, for the time being, and if I ever get around to it, I'll go back and make the other ones. But I honestly don't know that he ever intended to make all 9 himself. I think he intended to do what he could with it and then hand it off to whoever he felt, you know, could finish the story.
According to Mark Hamill, that the intention was 9. Mark Hamill, I saw the interview on Entertainment Tonight from 1983. You can look it up. And Mark Hamill says that George says that there's going to be 9, and they're going to be doing. He said it all, that there's going to be a story that tells the story of how we got here, and there's going to be another 3. There's going to be 3 that tells how we got here, 3 that tells how it all ends. He's like, and I hope to be a part of that, and George wants me to be a part of that, and so It was pretty cool. So at least that, is just from Mark Hamill's own words, makes that there was going to be nine. However, the thing that makes me believe that there wasn't going to be nine until after the first one was a hit was definitely the brother kissing.
Yeah, and that's a huge point of controversy for among fans, you know, about whether or not, you know, because George Lucas maintains that that was his intent the entire time, to reveal that, you know, Vader was Luke's father and that Leia was his sister. And I'm sorry if I'm spoiling it for any of you out there, but I'm
too
sorry
late.
If you haven't seen it by now.
The statute of limitations has been lifted. You're fine.
Oh, good. But, I mean, he maintains that that was always the direction the story was supposed to go. But, you know, it leads a lot of people to ask, like, were you just trying to make the reveal a surprise, or, you know, and you know, lead viewers down, you know, kind of like a false path, you know, to distract them from what you were going to do? Or were you really just kind of making it up as you went along, and you just needed some sort of tension between these characters, and you really didn't know what you were going to do?
Yeah, because the thing is that one of my favorite things is a meme that's going around that shows the two of them kissing, the screenshot of Luke and Leia kissing, and Han is next to him. It was that part, I think, from episode five.
It's from five, yeah.
Yeah, and C-3PO's there, and it's this happened, and then all of a sudden it zooms in to C-3PO a little bit more, and this son of a gun, it zooms in on his face, saw it happen, zooms in even more, and he knew the whole time.
except he didn't know the whole time. He didn't know the whole time. If you go back and you watch episode 3 again, mm-hmm. In one of the last scenes, they have the C-3PO and R2-D2 get handed off to Captain Antilles, and I think it's Senator Organa who hands them over to Captain Antilles and says, "Have the protocol droid's memory wiped." So the only character that I'm aware of who, from the original films, who knows the entire story,
Obi-Wan,
is R2-D2.
Oh, really? Not even Obi-Wan?
Well, Obi-Wan isn't
there when they kiss.
Well, right.
Right.
Well, and Obi-Wan is there kind of in spirit. There's this whole, you know, thing about how the only reason Luke can see Obi-Wan is because Luke has learned from Yoda, who learned from Qui-Gon, if you go back to the original trilogy, how to, and they talk about this in episode 3, Yoda's going to teach Obi-Wan how to basically converse with the dead, and Obi-Wan and Yoda pass that on to Luke, and so that's how Luke is able to see them. But they're not there for the whole story. The only character who's there for the entire thing, at least up to this point, and knows the whole story is R2-D2.
And I'm sure he was talking about it.
Yeah, beep, boop, beep, boop. Okay, so we are going to take one more break, and when we come back, we will finish up. So you have been listening to We're a Little Behind. We'll be right back.
49 times we fought that beast, your old man and me. Had a chicken head with duck feet.
BMT Satellite is offering to our 55-plus a special deal. Find out the two exclusive offers that they have at BMT Satellite. Call 241-3474. 241-DISH.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us.
Everybody calls us. Summer, fall, winter, and spring, we've got the best. It's hard to guess who's going to make our telephone ring.
Hello, Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning.
Please proceed. Thank you.
Jack, well, yes, sir. Here at Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning Service, we carry a complete line of Energy Star high-efficiency heating and cooling systems.
Don't make a bit of sense to me.
Well, sir, we're always here to help you at Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning. I don't know why you're so grouchy.
I'm not feeling grouchy.
And here at Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, we can install a new Energy Star high-efficiency system with our expert technicians. Now, what do you think of that?
You want answers? You can't handle the truth.
The truth is, quality service is just a phone call away with Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning. Call 221-2642 in Reading or 378-2642 in Anderson and Cottonwood.
Everybody calls us.
BNT Satellite is offering military and first responders two exclusive new offers to show their appreciation for their service. Call 241-3474-241-DISH and find out more from BNT Satellite.
Mary Shelley's spine-tingling classic comes to the Reading stage in all its theatrical glory. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Frankenstein, written by Mary Shelley, adapted by Andrew Billiter, directed by Matt McDonald. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, September 21st through October 19th. Come see a show unlike anything you've seen on the Riverfront stage before, if you dare.
And now, back to our show.
A long, long time ago, in a galaxy far away, Naboo was under an attack.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Chris Glavin, and I'm very impressed by your song selection for this episode.
Thank you.
So the first time I ever saw Weird Al in concert was, I was in high school, and it was right after this had come out. And so he didn't perform it during the regular concert, and the concert ended, and his concerts, by the way, are amazing. And if anyone ever
been to one,
if you ever get the chance, go, they're amazing. But because he comes out in full costumes, like full, like the fat suit for Eat It and all that. But so the show ended, people were standing up, they turned on the lights, people were leaving, like half the audience was gone. All of a sudden, someone comes out in a robe on the stage, and so the audience kind of gets quiet, sits back down, and he plays all of his Star Wars parodies. It was amazing.
That's excellent.
I like Yoda. Yoda. Yoda.
I probably should have used more of his, but yeah.
That's all right.
We had a good variety. I liked it.
Yeah, I used a lot of the bad lip read songs, which are songs that they create using bad lip readings of Star Wars.
So. Which are amazing.
Yeah, my favorite is obviously my favorite is not the future, but most people know Seagulls the best.
Seagulls.
Yeah.
Stop it now.
So, we have about a minute left. What wisdom would you like to impart on people? Like, this is your chance. You have your soapbox. Stand on it, man.
Star Wars wisdom? Go see them. If you haven't seen them, go see them. If you find original copies if you can. I still have an old boxed VHS original trilogy copy of Star Wars. I don't even think I have anything to watch it on, but I still have them.
So how about Rogue One? Like we didn't touch on that. Would you recommend it? I think
they're Rogue One and Solo and you know the Mandalorian series that's coming out. I think all of those are great. Great to watch after you've watched the Star Wars films because they give you more insight into the extended universe and all of the, you know, a lot of the ideas that fans have created over the years that have kind of been ushered into the core.
Would you recommend watching Rogue One between episode 3 and 4?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You can watch some of those in the order they were intended. You can also watch them. They do stand alone if you know the film. So,
yeah. No, absolutely. Go ahead. Yeah. So, well, that's it. That's our time.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about Star Wars.
Absolutely. It's been my pleasure.
Yes, thank you. Our guest in studio has been Chris Glavin talking about Star Wars. You've been listening to A Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez. Good night.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.